Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast, brought to you in association with TaylorMade Golf. Peter Finnan here, and joined again, back from the sunshine, by John Craven.
How you going, Peter?
After a 6 weeks?
Four weeks, yeah, down under.
Well sunned.
I saw you tried to hire a replacement. Unbelievable.
Do you know what I loved about that? So Ronan did a podcast a few weeks ago. You know, we were doing other interviews, feeling that Ronan did one. The first thing he did was just tweeted you. your days are numbered.
Calling me out for the co-host chair. And what? He lasted 1 week.
Yeah, you picked an interesting month to go. I don't think there has been a more seismic month in Irish golf.
Unreal.
Then November 2022.
Stop. Sure, I pitched at the start of the year to get that 4 weeks away.
It'll be just quiet.
Yeah, it's going to be the quietest quiet. Time of the year, November. Sure, what happens in November? Absolutely nothing. And that's it. Like, I didn't bring the laptop, didn't want to go on Twitter, didn't want to check a phone or anything, but there was just too much
good news.
Yeah.
Every week.
That's it. Like, at the end, like, it is a job, but you're a golf fan first. And there was just so many unbelievable stories coming through, and it was class, and it was difficult to keep up with it, like an 11-hour time difference over there, trying to keep up with it here, and you're ahead of the game in some aspects. When I think Power, when he was winning, like, I was fairly on the ball time wise with that,
but yeah.
It was a mad month. Irish golf, this country, punching above its weight.
It's savage. Where do we start? Where do you want to start with all this stuff?
What's happened?
What hasn't happened, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do you want to start with this week's news? Like Seamus Power, talking about him, the Hero Cup kind of announced GB and I's team.
Yeah.
And no surprise that he's on it. I think it's 18 players have been picked. There's a few more going to be picked down the track. He's on Team GB and I with Lowry. Tommy Fleetwood's captain.
Great to see Lowry playing. I didn't think he would. I thought he was I thought he was like in the Rory camp and I'm not going to go there. I'll go to Abu Dhabi for the event, but I'm not going to go there for that. But no, fair play.
I guess he's not, like, as much and all, he is a shoe-in. Like, he has only had one Ryder Cup behind him. Mm. Like, Tyrrell Hatton's playing and he's played a couple of Ryder Cups and stuff. It would be bad for, and obviously Fleetwood.
It's great to see that we're being supported, you know. We're getting, long gone are the days of guys giving the Seve trophy a swerve and stuff like that, that they're actually, we're getting everyone we want really there to play.
It is a good time in the schedule as well. Mm. Like, they're going to be given 7-star treatment over there, and it's leading into that, $9 million event or whatever it is. And
it's good reps. It's good, like, you know, you're walking the turkey off, playing the turkey off over the Christmas, just getting back into it. So
I know, it's class, and it's just amazing. Like, I know it's been done to death, but how far Seamus Power has come. Like, I didn't see that win coming. I know he started the season well, but to get the first win was obviously incredible, but to get the second win, like, the second album's always the hardest kind of thing back it up. And for him to do that was unreal. Like, he's leading the FedEx. He's almost earned $2 million already this year. He's had a top three in Mayakoba, and he was fifth in the RSM. Like, it's a mad start to the year. And that's before, like, the season hasn't even started, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, he's already flying. Like.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It is crazy. It is crazy to think that he's top of the order of merit. Like, and he will be probably, he'll close at the end of the year, close to it anyway.
Mm. No, he definitely will. I saw, I think Brian Keogh nabbed him for a few quotes, and like, just even the schedule that he has, like, leading into next year, like Century Tournament to Champions, obviously that's $15 million event. He'll go to the Hero Cup, play Abu Dhabi, then play Pebble Beach, and then it's Phoenix and the Genesis, and they're both $20 million events.
It's like, it's huge insane. Events, aren't they? They're huge events.
Yeah, like, it is. It's mad to think, like, just how rich that schedule is going to be next year. He's not going to be playing for less than $8 million next year. It's pretty impressive.
No, it's good. It's good. Who else? Outside Seamus. Like, literally, we can go to every tour, every level of everything. Like, is like the lads got their Q school. The lads got through Q school. Tom McKibben done his thing. Leona. Like,
So SA opens on this week, Johannesburg. Gary Hurley's getting his DP World Tour year started. again, didn't see that coming. Like, he had such a good year. I was thinking, like, yeah, consolidate your challenge tour status, happy days, after coming, whatever, fifth on Alps Order of Merit. Like, that was a result. But to then leapfrog it reminds me a bit of Johnny Caldwell when he got his challenge tour status as a Euro Pro, but yeah, then went to Q School and got his main tour card and just skips challenge. Like, it's open serious doors. Like, the challenge tour, as much and all as it's a great stepping stone, it's a grind to make money on that. Now Gary's going into Deep World Tour playing the best golf of his life. Like, it's unreal. It's all thanks to that Sadiat Golf Club. Fair play to them. Yeah. Ever since he got on board with them,
they just sparked him into life. That's it. That's probably, I know we'll do like end of year awards and end of year accolades for all players, but like, for someone that hasn't won lots this year, Gary, like, he's won on the Alps Tour and he's done so, like, he's going to be in the mix of the biggest achievements this year of an Irish golfer.
Big time.
Just to do what he's done, to come through from where he's been to where he is now without going into the depths. And we'll get him on. We will get him on over the Christmas and New Year period and have a proper catch up with him. But yeah, it's just so, it's so powerful what he's done.
I'm so keen to, yeah, pick his brain a little on. Like, he's gone from not being able to get out of his car in the car park to practice, yeah, only a couple of years ago, to now being able to produce under the gun. Like, at Q School as well, like, such a slog to be able to do it there. Like, he must have so much confidence going into next year. Going into this week.
Yeah, when you look at the names that have fallen by in Q, like, Q School is the hardest thing in the planet. I don't agree with Q School personally. I don't. It's not that I don't like
games
it.
Or something.
Yeah, there's too much. I really do think there should be, like, I would like to see golf go in the football direction and having, like, you know, your Premier League, your Championship, your League One, League Two, and literally there's promotion, relegation. Guys that finished in the top 25 play their way up. Like, happens already, but not like, but more. And then more consequence of guys falling down. There's like a tiered system like that, and no Q School really. Just get more qualifiers, Monday qualifiers, that lads that can try and play their way in as well. And just have a more fair system. Q School is a slog.
Do you think Q School leaves more to chance?
Like, I think it does, yeah. Just like, even though it's so long, but like, it's a big cash cow for the tour as well, Q School, the qualifiers, and there's a lot of money involved in it. So they're not.
You can be exempt into final stage, and if you have that one good week that week.
Yeah, yeah. And the stats of guys that make it through, like, we have a few outliers this year, but like, most of the guys that go through Q School or come through, even the challenge tour at the top, like, there, a lot of them are experienced guys. Like, Tom McKibben is an outlier on that, like, 19-year-old. I think the average age is 31 of guys that normally do that, you know. So, it's a tough breeding ground.
Tom McKibben, like, I am far from a mystic Meg, because when he turned pro, I thought, this is the stupidest decision. Yeah. I remember that, like, it was in COVID. I was thinking, why would you not go to college in America for 3 years? Like, that, like, would be a dream of mine, having watched American Pie all my life. Yeah. Like, just to do that, and you're skipping out on that. But, like, the maturity he adds for a 19-year-old in the golf course, and, like, we've kind of talked about it before, but what Chris Selfridge has clearly added to him is massive. Like, it's intangible what he's added.
We haven't seen someone like Tom come through the ranks like this so quick. Like, it's just not the done thing. It's not.
No.
You know, and, like, I know that people draw on, but it hasn't been done really, like, to come out the blocks that fast at that age since Rory.
Yeah.
In Ireland.
But for those parallels to be so easy to draw, like, same Hollywood Golf Club, only child, like, just kind of, yeah, looks like this prodigy or whatever. To actually back it up is mental. Like, and I know he has a long way to go. And, like,
and he's hit the ground running. Like, last week it was his first main tour start this season. Like, obviously, first event out the blocks. And
top 20, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, one bad round, I know Ronan caught up with him in the office, and he was just tired.
Yeah.
Just all the travel and messing. And, like, it's going to be interesting this year. He's so many new tour stops. He's so many new places to see. Again, Chris will come into his own, that he knows all these places and knows all these things. But no, it's...
I'm not surprised he's tired, though. Like, I have an article in my head to put out this week, but, like, I just think it's bananas. Like, I got home and started work this Monday, like, going through the emails or whatever, and there's an email. I don't know the day off the top of my head. I'd say the 20th of November, John Rahm wins the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
Then the 23rd of November, like, Ryan Fox hits the opening drive of the new season. Yeah. It's like, what? Like, 3-day off season. There has to be, and I know, like, they're playing in South Africa and Australia, and, like, you have to kind of account for different hemispheres, but, like, you don't have to play golf in summer in those countries. I don't know how they can't work out a 2-month off season, and, like, just 2 months. And, like, there's so, I was going through the schedule, like, there's so much dead wood on the schedule. So many.
There is. The only good thing about next year looking into it, and I actually spoke to some players on it, is there's gaps in the DP World European Tour season next year around holiday times, giving lads more family. So there is 2-week blocks going into next year. It's something they haven't done before. So, you know, guys can have 2 weeks off with they're not losing any ground. And do a bit of family time, and they're like these August times and May times. There are key times of the year that there are little blocks.
That's so good.
That's a good thing that they're at least they're thinking like that. But yeah, I agree with you. There's way too much golf. Like it has to get. We're getting so close to a world tour. It has to happen.
Yeah,
it just has to happen, and it has to happen for the sake of golf. All these guys need to, and we'll get into what's going on this week in the Bahamas with. Tiger coming out of the woodwork and saying what he said yesterday and going through all this, like a lot of interesting stuff, but like there has to be a world tour.
Yeah, and we're definitely edging closer to it. I think even just from a fan perspective, like I'd enjoy not having to watch golf for 2 months.
There's too much golf. Yeah, when I think there's too much, you think there's too much.
We have more than enough to do, like, work-wise. Like, it's not like our business would shut down or whatever, but, like, you're a Leeds fan, I'm a Liverpool fan. If the new Premier League season started the week after the one ended, I emotionally wouldn't be able to handle that.
Imagine like, how I feel. We're down the other end. Exactly. You're worrying about winning stuff. We're worrying about saving our lives.
Yeah, like that. I love the off-season. Like, and you're just, by the time the new season comes around, you're buzzing for it. In golf, I don't know how the players must feel, but as a fan, it's just like, Jesus, again. Like, just give us a few weeks.
Are you buzzing for the World Cup?
Oh, don't get me started.
You flew through Qatar the other day.
I know. I was putting the hat on and little disguise. Don't want to be spotted here. Not that anyone would recognize me. It's a shambles of a World Cup. Without even going into any of the human rights, all that kind of stuff. Like the fact that it's in November, like just breaking up what's a good Premier League season. Yeah. And it just seems ridiculous to me now, really. But I guess if Ireland was there, I'd have a completely different opinion.
No, but even on the, so, like, Rory McIlroy getting back, I know we're jumping between loads of it, like, to end, find what he's found, and now I don't, not that I don't agree, he's done well this year, he's done really well, but, like, to finish as European number one, like, it's a bit, I don't agree with how the points work and a lot of things.
No.
Around Rory, and I'm a massive Rory fan, I just think, like, Ryan Fox, like, excluding majors this year, Rory has played 5 times on the European Tour. That's, you know, I know it's majors are part system. Of it. It really is. Like, the world rankings are broken, but, like, he's winless at those events and sits on top of the rankings compared to Ryan Fox, who's played 20 times on the European Tour this year, won twice, and 4 second-place finishes.
And didn't even get a President's Cup pick. Never mind the race to Dubai. No, it's wrong. It's definitely wrong.
It shouldn't be the case. Like, it's just one of these things. But I know they've changed it in the past, and they've changed it to suit Rory in the past. I remember Danny Willett as well should have won the Order of Merit, and something was changed at the end about Rory. He didn't meet the exact amount of events, but they let him in anyway, and he won. That was it. Danny Willett doesn't win the Order of Merit.
I can't imagine Rory would lose sleep over.
No, he won't.
Like, not being in that position. It sounds like there will, like every time you hear like Keith Pelly speak or Rory speak or Paul McGinley speak, that 2024 is the year that we're going to see the DP World Tour reap the benefits of this strategic alliance. So I'm going to hold my fire until then. Like, I know there was war over.
I can't see it.
Well, I don't know what they're going to be able to change. Like, it sounds like the PGA Tour is going to have a clear off season, and that in that time, the DP World
Tour. We fit the whole European Tour schedule into, right, lads, you have to do everything in December.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm with you on the global tour, that, like, you can't just do, like, that just defeats the purpose of a PGA Tour off season, because you're not going to get half those players. So you need, a 10-month global tour. It's not, I don't think it's difficult at all.
Yeah,
like, they have the bones of it there with that alliance.
And just, I've never been as pissed off as I have been in the last couple of weeks with the politics around golf. I'm just, like, I've been bored with it a long time ago, but now I've just had my absolute fill. And then when you see, like, Cam Smith come and do what he's doing, like, plays on the European Tour last week, wins in Australia, it's great. And he probably is the best player in the world. Mm. That's the thing. Like, but they're, like, I just... It really irks me that we don't know where he is.
Yeah.
He comes, he drops down. Now, it's a fairly weak field. But, like, we need him and McIlroy. Like, him and McIlroy were just getting that little thing going.
Bit of a niggle, yeah.
Bit of something going. Like, someone's there challenging. Rory's on the way up. Cam's on the way up. Scheffler was number one. And then he's gone. And that's it. Like, he's, like, Sergio's dropped out of the world. Top 100 is in. I know I'm rambling on here now. But
no,
like,
you're
it,
not.
I just, never has it come in front of me that, like, because you just don't know. I just was pissed off watching that, just going, it doesn't need to be like this. And I hope that 2023 is the year of these lads just getting into a room and sorting this crap out.
But
and
again,
just forming a world tour.
I just don't see what the solution is. Like, yeah, a world tour would be ideal, but even, like, Tiger's press conference yesterday and...
Some of it was, like, petty.
Absolutely it was, yeah.
Scripted and petty.
Yeah, clearly. Well, Greg has to go first of all. Yeah. And it's like, all right, put that in another way.
Yeah, said that, okay.
Yeah, like, but Tiger clearly didn't have a clue what the answers were either. Like, people are on about, getting in a room and talking. But, like, the fact remains that, like, LIV are committed to 14 events next year and four majors. That's 18 events. That's not far off a player's full schedule at the top end. I don't really see why the existing tours need to get in that room anyway. Like, why do they need to talk? As far as I can see, PGA Tour holds all the cards still. I agree with you that fields are diluted and it's bloody frustrating that these lads aren't all playing together. Like, that's, the fan is losing out in that regard. But, like, as far as the PGA Tour are concerned, like, look at the events I named earlier. Genesis, Phoenix, $20 million events. Like, yeah, they're not, no one's losing out in the PGA Tour. If anything, they're getting more. They have the rankings. They have the major access. Oh, it's messy. Like, and I, like, yeah, my stamina is absolutely at an end. After 4 weeks holidays, it's still, like, when you talk about this, it automatically drains you.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's the same rubbish over and over again.
No, it really is. And it's, like, I'm just so over this good again. Like, the Shane Lowry made some comment that, like, to win for the good guys and all that. And I actually, I agreed with him at the time, but the more it just festers and you get in, there's no good versus evil. It's all golf. Like, it's no one cares. I don't as a golf fan, I don't care.
Mm.
And that's the problem. I know that but that's,
I know,
that's
I know.
And that gets deeper then into the whole sports. Like, I just hate the whole World Cup has brought up all this sports watching again and all this. It's just a done thing. And, like, not that we should just accept it and move on, but, like, things need to change at the top of golf and fast, because people are just quickly losing interest in it.
Yeah,
we're golf fans, people outside of golf that are, like, it's not helping the game.
Because
at
the end of the day, like, you're, as a fan, just watching golfers squabble over money.
Yeah.
And about life balance and generational wealth and time off and all this. Like, I don't give a crap about that. I don't, when I invest in Liverpool and, like, I don't know anything about Mo Salah off the course or his life balance or any of that stuff. I don't care. I just want to watch Liverpool win a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lot simpler. Golf has just, become so complicated and political.
It's murky now. It is political. And that's, I hate seeing the players being political pawns. Like, I agree with what Tiger is saying. And I agree with what Rory is saying about, like, we need to get everyone in the room, but, like, he needs to go. Greg needs to go before.
But
who is it for him to...
Absolutely. Like, who are you to say that?
To tell these lads, you need to sack your CEO and then we'll talk to you.
Yeah, like, how is that promoting peace talks?
Yeah,
like,
putting
the knife in one hand and then, No, it's crazy. So if Cam Smith hits a home for me more than anyone since this whole thing has started, like... I backed him to win the Open. I think he's an unbelievable golfer. He won the Players this year and could have won the Masters so easily without Scheffler. Won Australia, wins LIV. Hard to know what those events are. But if Cam Smith's ranking goes the way of Dustin Johnson's and Sergio's and he drops out the top 20 early next year, clearly that
it's the world rankings fault. They're broken, like they are broken.
Absolutely broken.
And the fact that they haven't included Liv, it just pisses me off even more. That it's just, it's such a void. We don't know where anything stands anymore. You don't know what his stock is against his, and it's so disheartening. Like I do feel like I don't have much hair left, but I feel like just pulling it all out. It's shocking.
It's bad. Like I got an email, which you would have got a few weeks ago, from the AGW looking for their player of the year.
Yeah.
But like it's a European golfer. And I always forget that when I do and I fill out my list. And Cam Smith was my number one golfer this year. By a distance.
Yeah.
Like McIlroy had a great year, but Cam Smith won the big tournaments. Like no comparison. So to be robbed of him, if we're only getting Cam Smith playing Rory McIlroy playing whoever else four times next year, like that's a bit of a travesty. And but like at the end of the day, these lads knew what was going to happen when they went to Liv. So it's hard to have much sympathy for them at the same time. But at the end of the day, the golf fan misses out.
And that's all we care about is the golf fan. Like I don't like it. I did see, which is interesting. I did. There was a report. I think Jamie Corrigan had it yesterday about the match that we're going to see in 2 weeks' time. That literally all the guys are getting together in one room. They had everybody confirmed except for the Masters. So all the majors and the tours are getting together, bar Liv, to see what. Now, Liv should be included in that.
Mm.
They should be. They're carrying so many players, and it's are they meeting to come up with a strategy excluding Liv, or how they go? Like, I in some ways, I'm really happy to see these guys all getting together. Hopefully, throw a bit of common sense, but I hope it's not a meeting of exclusion and building walls and barriers, and because Liv have spent, like, I think Tiger said it yesterday, like, a couple of billion already. Like, who's to say they won't double that next year?
No bother to them.
Like, it's not.
All the Saudi players getting their
their Rolls Royces. Yeah, they got the Rollers for beating the Archies.
And then they're the shocker the next game. you can't. Yeah, you definitely can't compete. Like, it's not fair game, and they're not representative of a market. And, like, from my point of view, like, it would be great if everyone still playing together and stuff. If it's PGA Tour Live, everything's divided. Like there's already too much golf for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to watch Live. Like I won't watch plenty of golf as it is. But yeah, it is. It's just sad. It's gonna rumble on. It'll be interesting next year. Like who else is gonna jump ship? PGA Tour schedule looks pretty bloody good now. Will the momentum be gone if they don't get a couple of like big time players again? It's hard to know. Like, a lot of people say Liv's around forever, they're here for good or whatever. I'm still not convinced. But, yeah, a lot will change over the next couple of years, I guess.
I know it was snuck in last week or the week before, the PIP stuff that got published and came out. And they deserve it. Yeah, the players, like, in some ways deserve it. Because they're the marketeers. They're the people that the tour is selling. But, like, it's obscene amounts of cash. Like, Larry finished 12th or something, got $3 million. Like, and you can't compete with Tiger at the top of the thing. It's literally their way of giving sweetie money to Tiger and Rory. They're always going to be up the top of that pit. Like, Tiger sent out his tweet pulling out of the thing the other day. That's PIP wrapped up for next year.
Yeah, boom.
Done. Yeah. Boom. There we go. There's $20 million.
Yeah.
Like, Larry bought a pub. $3 million. Like, done.
Larry's openly spoken about how he has no relationship with social media, so he's done very well to get $3 million out of that. Like, he was sick of the abuse and the trolls and the poison, I think he called it. Listen, what, like, the PIP is ridiculous.
Well, we don't know how it's done, so, like, I'm sure a lot of the, and I agree, like I said, I agree with a lot of what Shane said, and he moves the needle. He does move the needle. He's come out, and he's come out with some very honest yet controversial things this year. His comments on No Laying Up podcast were good after his win. Like, he's not shying away from the big questions. A win for the good guys, you know. There's stuff like that he's coming out with, and he wears his heart in his sleeve. I like that. And he should be rewarded for what he's put into the tour. I just find a full list of all the PIP stuff. They don't communicate it right. It's like it's...
Well, Ricky Fowler is sitting there at $2 million.
Yes.
That's pretty good going. That's better than his season earnings, I'd imagine.
It's misunderstood in that way. They should just put it into tournament play. Or like loads of people are saying, and I know it's the popular thing to say, just put it into...
Grassroots golf.
But yeah. Like, they already are putting stuff into grassroots golf. And I just... It's broken. The system is broken.
No, and it's like, it is hypocritical of, like, I give out about all the money that they're getting over at Live, but, like, the money that you're getting, like, Lowry said it himself on the No Line Up thing, that golf is, there's no golfer in the right mind worth $100 million on a sign-on fee. Like, to compare golf to NBA or American football or whatever, like, the markets you're competing against, and there's no comparison. Like, it's a drop in the ocean compared
to it. But the money is generated from how popular the sport is and how popular the players are. So, like, it's the players, they're creating this, you know, sort of way, in a really positive way. They're the sellable assets. They should be rewarded, but
I think they're rewarded anyway.
They are rewarded anyway. It's just that you've someone in the room just throwing out stupid rewards, like lottery money to lads now to go and play in something else when like the PGA Tour are trying to compete with that and the European Tour, and it's impossible. They should just stop it.
Kevin Kisner did well as well.
Yeah.
I think he had 3 million. He's a big Barstool sportsman. I think he owes at least a million of that to them, because there's no way in hell Kevin Kisner's the needle mover. But yeah, it's money for nothing, the Pip.
It's mad.
It's mad stuff. Where do you want to go? So I guess the most recent news is Tiger.
Yeah.
Got to give him a bit of time. First of all,
he's broken.
Well, he is broken, yeah.
No, but I think he's done.
God, I was going to get there at the end. I didn't think we were going
to
start.
I go straight to the end. Close the book, done.
Yeah.
Nah, I can't see him competing properly again. There's just too many layers of injuries on injuries on injuries. Like, it's grand. He'll have a cart next week. He's playing the match and he's playing the CNC thing with Charlie, and we'll all have our fill of Tiger now. And it's great to have something to look forward to in December, but just the way he was talking, the injuries, how he was going through things, I just think that's it.
Yeah.
I hate saying that.
It was sobering when he said, like, there's not a lot left in this leg. No. And when asked about his schedule next year, he said 4 majors and maybe one or two more. Like, he's not going to... I'm happy to go on record saying he's not going to win a major if he's only playing one or two events outside them. Like, he is a hard man to rule out. But, like, he does say his leg's improved. It's kind of devastating when you hear him say, when he's playing golf at home in his cart and he's shooting 5, 6, 7 under regularly, but he can't walk. And you do think,
let him out in the cart.
Yeah.
Let him play the majors in the cart.
But, like, and in fairness, like, I admire his stance, but
himself and John Daly having races down the 18th, like, great crack.
He's like, he turned golf into a sport for me. Like, obviously golf was a sport before Tiger, but, like, he did make it cool in the weightlifting, and then he was an athlete. Like, people would always say, is golf a real sport? And you point to Tiger and it's like, clearly it is. And he says himself that walking is an integral part of it. And it would be a serious advantage to not have to walk.
When Tiger was 19, 18, 19, 17, 18, 19, and you had Davis Loves and all them guys, or guys coming to the end of their career, he wouldn't have liked to see them in carts competing against him, because he would have known it was like the physical elements, what he's done with his physical peak fitness at the time. Set him apart, and he was able to do that on Sunday when they were knackered.
Big time.
And he knew he could just smoke all that.
Yeah.
You can't take that out of the game. Like, they're never going to let him. They might let him. They're never going to let him play a major in a cart.
No, I don't think so.
And they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. Like, yeah, whatever about a one-off medical exemption, but yeah, a constant one's not going to happen. And he's not going to play anyway. Like, he's too proud. It's definitely not going to happen. What was I going to say about Tiger, though? Yeah, on the, like, should he retire thing, like, there's a lot of hysteria around it as well. He is kind of retired.
But you're only going to play 4 majors. Sorry, I keep cutting across you here.
No, you're good. No, but it's, like, the hysteria online around, like, oh, please, Tiger, just stop. Just stop for your own sake and all. Like, people are equating it to a Muhammad Ali kind of situation, where Ali, way past his time, kept getting the ring, kept getting the head knocked off him. Like, golf can't compare to that. Like, Tiger can go, if he wants to be a ceremonial golfer, he can be. Like, he's not doing himself lasting damage. His leg is obviously bollocks, for want of a better word. I wouldn't be hysterical in the way some people are, that he should really give this up for the benefit of his later life and his retirement and stuff like that. Like, if he thinks he can play his few games a year, just let him play.
Yeah, yeah. He's not doing damage, playing golf, but he just can't play it at that level. It's too elite now. It's too... If you stand him over every shot, he can play the shots. But still, even at that, it's gone.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like,
we don't know how lucky we were last year to get him to Adair Manor.
Mm.
Like, everyone that was at that, like, there's thousands and thousands of people hopefully listening here that know they were there. And,
yeah.
You know, 40, 50,000 people a day that were on the grounds in Adair Manor got to see Tiger in the flesh.
Yeah.
One-on-one. I felt like that at the Masters this year. I felt following for those two rounds, seeing his prep, his pre... Like, I felt that that was... like, it was close to the end, you know.
Oh, so making the cut was his Everest this
year.
Yeah,
it was unreal. And to see how... Just to see... It is a bit of a circus act, and that's hard to get your head around. Like, we've all grown up on Tiger. We've all looked at it. So you don't... There's words you can't put in the same sentence as Tiger Woods, and can't is one of them.
Mm.
Like, you just never say never with them, but it just... physically, I just think it's impossible.
Yeah.
What he's facing, what he's doing. And it's not it's not his capabilities, it's the capabilities of everyone that's around him. Like, they just gut him on a golf course.
Yeah.
Specific courses like Augusta, just making the cut was like a win.
Mm. Definitely in that shape that he was in.
Then, like, obviously going into the Open, the big thing last week was actually Rory coming out in the Indo at the weekend with Kimmage and saying he had COVID like the week before the Open and gave it to Tiger.
Yeah. But Tiger was testing negative, just built differently, I heard someone say on Twitter, but like, we just stop. Jesus Christ.
That's another, I'm not missing the 150th Open, like, just not testing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What's your testing policy? We're not testing at the minute, but if you have symptoms, we'll test you. No, I'm fine.
Oh, God, yeah. Even Adair last year, like, or this year, like, the weather was so cold and stuff. Like, you could see him kind of wincing and stuff. It would have been great to get a warm week. It does feel like the end of an era for people like us who are, you're brought up on Tiger and you're playing his computer game and everything else. Like, he is the sport.
Yesterday was the first sense of that I got of, I don't think he can overcome this. From the way he was speaking, he was quite open and positive in most other press conferences and building and looking to the future. But, like, to come out and say, he spoke for half an hour yesterday without telling us anything, really.
Mm, he's a master at that.
Like, he's so good. That's probably his biggest talent.
Yeah.
Just at blocking, shielding, avoiding questions, giving nothing, but sounding like he's talking about what you want him to talk about. But, he just saying that there's not much left in the leg, like, and there can't be. There's so many surgeries. And
maybe he needs to get a prosthetic. I'm telling you what, there's unbelievable things happening in disability golf. Like,
imagine Tiger and the Edgar.
I'm not sure he could play main tour on that. Like, he could load that, no problem.
Lawler would do.
Yeah, there you go. Brendan on the stretch wouldn't be happy. I'm surprised Brendan's not playing with him.
Yeah.
He seems to be getting around talking to Cam Smith.
Yeah, I see now. He's in Australia at the minute. Like, there's no event on that. He went down for the Pro-Am, did he? Or I don't know.
No, so there is. Yeah, so I can't find the leaderboard of it, but it sounds like the All Abilities Australian Open is running concurrently with this week's ISPS Australian Open.
But he played the Pro-Am with Cam Smith.
Cam Smith.
Savage.
It's unreal. Like, down at Adair, like, and, like, Dad got into the putting green and all snuck in. Brendan came over, and, like, Dad didn't have a clue who Brendan was, and I was saying, that's the world number one you're looking at there, Dad. And Dad, like, oh, Jesus, like, I didn't know. And just that, like, Dad got a sense because, like, Morikawa speak, like, all these lads just come around shaking Brendan's hand. And Dad, like, what did this little fella know what's going on here? But he's a little, like, a god amongst men with those lads. Like, it's unreal. And I'd say he got on well with Cam Smith. He seems like a real down-to-earth sound fella. Another great opportunity for him. Tough finish for him for the G4D season, like a winless year, probably grade him a bit. You never know, he could win this week. And
hopefully,
with that right.
Hopefully, but like, the G4D is over, isn't it? That's the thing. It's another event. But the rankings and the Edgar rankings and stuff, like, he needs to just maintain a spot into next year. There's still no money in these events. We spoke to him a year ago about this, and I'm sure we'll get him on again and chat to him about it. But, like, these guys are taking up so much bandwidth and headlines and giving up. Like, we're talking about Pip.
Yeah,
and the other guys, they're generating all this eyeballs and positivity around golf.
Kip
Pip. No, we're talking about Pip, like, for players, and, like, these guys are generating eyeballs. It's a huge marketing tool that both tours are using to promote golf in this inclusive way, and there's not a shilling for these guys still.
Yeah.
Again, this seems like rant week here since you're back.
No, but it's good to rant. It's good to...
Like, these lads deserve to be paid. 100%.
Absolutely.
They're not looking for much.
No. Yeah, just something that, like, to be competitive. Because, yeah, as we know, like, Brendan has a pretty good support system behind him. A lot of the lads don't. Like, and it wasn't that long ago where Brendan was paying for his flights and his hotel and stuff just to compete for a piece of silverware or whatever it would be.
I know, like... Gulf Saudi last year did sign some sort of an agreement with Edgar. Like, they are involved. Like, it's not the Liv side of things, but Liv, Gulf Saudi, they're kind of one and one themselves, you know. The lads could end up playing for Newcastle for all we know. But, like, they're all one and the same. So, yeah, like, I would be surprised if there wasn't something next year around one of the Liv events with money involved. Why wouldn't they? It's great news, great publicity. If what they're into is... trying to buy friends. There you go. There's a perfect platform.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, G4D, like, the schedule was announced for 2023. Going back to Galgorm, but no Irish Open this time around. To be honest, like, that was, it kind of hit home for me when I was in Mount Juliet and I went to that G4D event on the Tuesday or whatever. And I'd say there was six people watching it.
It's a circus act. The tour have treated it this year like a circus act, like a sideline thing. These are all areas that need to be highlighted, that it should be running concurrent with the events.
Absolutely.
The lads need to be part of the thing. Even last year, so Brendan went and played in the Century. We talked about the tournament.
Yeah,
the
over in Hawaii. Yeah,
they had them on a different golf course.
Yeah,
they weren't allowed to use the same driving range.
Yeah, pretty, like, segregation. Like, it's insane.
Total bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like apartheid, like, these lads. You're not allowed in there. But sure, I was playing with them in Dubai 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. No, you can't go in there and hit balls.
Yeah.
Brendan had to get special permission to go to the tour truck to get, like, his driver tweaked with TaylorMade because he wasn't allowed in the range. This is mental.
No, it is mental. And it's, like, the cynic in me will say that, like, these kind of organizations, like, it's very easy for them to put out a press release that looks like they're doing their utmost for disability golf and it bodes well for their brand and all the rest of it. But the reality of that G4D event in Mount Juliet anyway was, as you said, there was no one there. Like, it may as well not have happened.
Yeah.
But for the press release after saying
it's so positive that they have these events, but then just that little extra mile.
Yeah.
A little bit of prize fund and have a bit of atmosphere. Have a part of the pro-am day.
Yeah.
When you have loads of people.
Exactly,
there.
Yeah.
Why not?
And it's not like the standard is bad. Like, there's lads shooting, like, Kip Hopper are pretty much under par every round this year. Like, he's really raised the bar that Brendan's gonna have to strive for next year.
Yeah.
A long way to go in that sphere, I guess. Just looking at things that happened while I was away.
Paddy Harrington made another couple of $1 million.
Yeah, he's just relentless.
He's just relentless. Like, missed out on, like, won the final event. That was class. It was class to see. He is, like, I seen he came out in an interview afterwards. He's fully convinced he's going to win in the main tour next year. I wouldn't put it past him.
Absolutely not. On any given week, he's well able.
Yeah, on any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday, exactly. No, he's class. And, he just seems to be getting faster with age and all the rest. It's insane what he can do.
We're going to have time in December with Leona and have, like, an end of season catch up with her. That's been some finish to the season she's had. Like, it's...
Well, I thought she'd completely burned out, to be
honest. So did I.
Yeah. So for her to, finish second, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lydia Ko won it. Lydia Ko back to number one in the world. Leona, 11th career high. Like, unbelievable year for her. Like, to be sitting 11th, I wouldn't even have classed her year before that event as an unbelievable year. Like, the standard she set for herself, you just come to expect mad things from her. But... like, she's 11th best woman.
And it's all about number one. Like, when this time last year when we were chatting to her, like, you're inside the world's top 50. What do you think about that? And she's like, it's 48 ahead of me.
Yeah.
And you're just going, Jesus Christ. This is her mentality.
Yeah.
She is looking at next year going, how, it's just minimal, like, there's little incremental gains. Like, how do you go from 11th to first? Like, it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's tiny, but it's massive.
Yeah, I'd say she'll learn a lot from this year. Like, there was definitely times in the season where she played too much or she was doing too much travel and...
playing on courses that didn't suit her.
Yeah.
I think she'll be very clever about her schedule. Like, she remarked a couple of times this year about playing on the Poa Greens and stuff like that. Like, I think she missed 3 cuts this season, all on Poa Greens. So she like they're probably big events. I know the Pelican was one of them, and there was they're big events.
Yeah.
That she probably can't not play in them, but she might have that freedom this year.
Well, hopefully there's a better Irish Women's Open next year. Yeah. Like spot in the schedule as well, because that would have definitely put her back a bit, having to fly over for that in the middle of some media events in the LPGA.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, unreal season. And exactly what we expected, I guess, of her, to be fair. Like, her expectations surpass everyone else's, but...
She just moves the needle now. Mega. The whole country get behind her. We, like, you get this... that's what I love about sport in Ireland. We just get all in. Like, you can talk to anybody. You can go to a GAA club anywhere in the country, and you can talk about Leona Maguire, Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy. Everyone will know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to rugby club. Like, we just get behind our own so well. And to have all of these, like, in the space of a month, all punching at the top. Like, we're an island of 6.5-7 million people.
Is there that many now?
Well, if you take North and South, we're an All-Ireland golf body, you know?
I know. It's
frightening, you know?
Yeah.
We're the best egg throwers in the world, apparently. You know, we love winning friendlies at the rugby.
Hang on now there, Peter. Hang on.
You know, you have the best golfer in the world. Like, it's frightening when you look at it.
It is. If only we had a football team.
Only we do. We have a whole bunch of women that qualify for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Sorry.
You were on the toy show there last week. You were away.
I need to plug the gender gap. Sorry, 2020. Yeah. Can't see, can't be. Apologies. So... New Irish Open Day. That was another thing I missed. The Lynx swing is no more. But
I think it needed a new date.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping there's something more to this that we don't know. But the fact that it's not in the Ryder Cup qualifying, like the Ryder Cup qualifying ends the week before the Irish Open, I just find bonkers.
I'll be honest, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the Ryder Cup qualifying ended at BMW, no?
No, because BMW was the first one.
Yeah.
So they've cut it off. So rankings end the first week in September, qualifying. So it's not in the qualifying series.
No way. Yeah. That the number one draw was
I thought it was in the Ryder Cup qualifying.
No, yeah.
It's not.
Ah, Jesus. You've caught me on the hop there with that one. That's a load of bullshit, to be quite honest.
Well, I hope I'm right on that, but yeah, I'm 99% certain now that's not in the Ryder Cup qualification, which is bizarre.
Yeah, like that. Like it looks like the ideal tune-up towards Ryder Cup, because I thought that was going to be in it, then the BMW, then this little break, and then Ryder Cup.
No.
Ah.
Automatic qualifying.
Who planned that?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, that's disappointing, because I was going to be all over this September day as like a really good thing.
It still is. I think it will grow into something. I think it's really good. I think the K Club's going to be good for the tournament as well.
Definitely.
You know, like it's not that far from Mount Juliet, but it's just closer to the airport.
Yeah. And lads have talked about.
It's closer to Wentworth.
Closer to Wentworth. Just good players like to use those weeks as a family week as well. So they have the hotel here and the facilities are unreal. So they can make a week of it. Like,
yeah.
All that's in its favour. September's a good time to play golf in Ireland. Chatting to Jerry Byrne, the fairways out there are as close to Augusta as we're going to get. It sounds unbelievable.
You did a nice piece, actually. This month in the magazine, you did a nice piece with him. It was good.
He was really good to chat to. And he's very proud of what he's done over there. And so he should be, yeah. By all accounts. I'm keen to play it in winter, but it sounds of things like they had their little testing patch compared to what they originally had. And like one's like just wet. Bloody sop and sticky, and then this one like just took it in like a sponge. It just sounds great.
Oh, it's really good. It is really good.
Bloody Irish Open, I never get it right. Should be on the links anyway. I don't know, Pete. What else? Heroes and villains. I can't even remember what happened in that regard. But there was one great bit of news filtering in that Patrick Reed had his bloody $750 million lawsuit dismissed.
Dropped, yeah.
Who would have thunk that wasn't going to succeed?
Stop. I don't even want to bite.
Don't want to bite? All right. What about this one? World Handicap System. The people of Ireland are a disgrace.
Like, if for anyone that hasn't seen that, we stuck a piece up this week on the on the website about the WHS, and oh my God, I've never seen it. It's like wildfire.
It's just
taken off. There are a lot of people peed off about this, and rightly so.
Massively, like, yeah.
But it's the people, and I think this is what the article was highlighting. It's not the system that's broken, it's the people that are manipulating it.
Yeah, well, that's what I wrote in the last print edition, that WHS is fine, people are the problem, and Ivan Morris, who wrote this article, jumped on that, and he pointed out flaws with the system, that like 54, like a handicap of 54 is insanity in his mind for golf, and I totally agree.
Yeah.
But he's also talking about how ripe it is from manipulation, and yeah, the amount of people that get in touch, like it's a hard one. Like you kind of, like we like to joke about it, about everything on this podcast, but like there are a lot of lads giving up their membership, not playing club comps, just totally pushed away from the game because they feel like this system is completely letting them down. So,
yeah. But as was the old system, there's no answer to this.
But yeah, like there's no stopping cheating in golf.
No, there's not. And that's unfortunately, that is it. Like the only way you can stop this is just don't sign scorecards.
Yeah.
If you think someone is playing off a handicap that they shouldn't be, consistently. Now, everyone can have a good day.
Yeah, but not everyone can have like these 16 under par rounds of golf. Like that should not exist. Yeah, yeah. No one has a day like that.
Yeah, but so like you shouldn't sign someone's scorecard.
Yeah.
That's just it.
It's just so hard. Like you're just so open to bloody litigation and defamation and all these things. Like it's all, like over a game of golf. It breaks my heart that something so beautiful and simple can be so ruined.
This really has turned into a rant week, hasn't it? It's good.
Oh, stop. I think I we like should point everyone. The last thing I've written down in my notes is that war on the golf course in Australia.
So that was brilliant. That was,
I think,
brilliant.
To end on a high note.
Anyone that hasn't seen that, like the two lads going at it and the club championships in the club in Australia, like it is absolutely priceless.
It didn't even go as viral as I thought it would. Like I thought that would be.
I know, because everyone is using the video. It's viral on all different channels.
Ah, yeah.
Like your man, like literally confronted the captain, confronting the club champion with like a mate of his that was like a bodybuilder squaring up to him, telling him he's gonna knock his block off. And your man shaking like a leaf, going,
yeah,
like,
I'm shaking
like a leaf, I can't even hit the ball. And then he just like chunks this thing and smashes the club over his back, going mental. Roaring across the fairways.
Yeah, best golf content of the year.
That should win the PIP. Someone needs to claim that. That's PIP absolutely material there.
It was world class.
But no, outside that, yeah, like I'm not even. Do you want to do a heroes and villains?
No. That's not. Like there's been too many bloody heroes.
There's been too many heroes.
It's like
exactly.
The Marvel universe or something now here.
The heroes, everybody in Ireland that plays golf.
That's it. Like, we never even talked about the likes of Robin Dawson, Mullarney getting their Alps Tour cards and stuff. Like, Dermot McElroy did so well. And yeah, it's mad. We're going to be compiling all this for a special article in the next edition.
Yeah, next edition of the mag, we kind of have a who's who, where they're playing, what rankings, what sort of exemptions and categories everybody's in, how many events and quotes from all the players. Like, it's something decent.
Yeah.
End of year thing. We'll have end of year awards we look at doing as well. So we'll open things up to listeners and readers and go through all that.
A vote. Yeah. No, exactly. Sounds good.
I have to say, it is. I know, like, Ronan's a nice fella, but it's good to have you back.
Aww.
I'm telling you. And, the banter ball was good. But, no, we'll get deeper into it next week. We'll have a bit more to talk about. Like, it's going to be Tiger month. We're going to be inundated with Tiger, Rory, the match, all this sort of stuff. We've Shane Lowry playing his last event of the season. There's a few people we like to get on, and I think we will get on the pod and sort of throughout December and Jan, a few of these guys in their off season. Leona, hopefully Shane, Seamus, a few guys like that we'll get on. So we'll have, as well in the Irish PGA region, we'll have something lined up with Richard Kilpatrick after winning the Order of Merit and stuff. He's always an interesting guy to chat about. So we'll have loads of stuff coming over the next over the next 3 or 4 weeks, plus these chats that would have been a little bit, they won't be as ranty going forward. We've had a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, exactly. No, golf silly season's never been so busy, but it's exactly. Now things.
So you can keep up to date as always with all the latest golf news on irishgolfer.ie, or visit our social channels at irishgolfer.ie or at irishgolfermag on all the various channels. Cheers as always for tuning in. Cheers, John, again. Hope you're well rested.
Good
since
to be
you
back,
back.
Pete. Thank
and,
you.
Cheers for tuning in, and we'll chat to you again next week. Bye.